Welcome to Reality Check Live radio program, discussing topics that are close to the heart of conservative America. If you love your family, your country, and honor God, Reality Check is for you. Join Mike and Clary and their exciting guests right here on the Tantalk Radio Network and on nettalkworld.com. Also on uswebtalkradio.com. Check out our website, realitychecklive.talkspot.com. And now, here's Mike and Clary.
Good morning. Welcome to Reality Check. Lee, turn the music off. We're on the air. Clary, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Man, it is really an awesome day for news. And you know, President Obama did promise, Clary, that he was going to clean up our reputation around the world. The good news for all those countries that are run by the unions, they have a more favorable opinion of the United States of America than before. And now, you know, it is really happening. His dream came true. He kept the promise. But listen to this. The people that the opinions of America that went down, take a guess what group of nations don't think of us any more favorable or less favorable since Barack Obama became president of the United States of America, the Messiah, the healer of the world, the citizen of the world. Who?
I would say America.
No. The Muslim nations.
Well, because he's not giving in to doing all that. He's not taking over America for them as much as they expected them to do. But the rest of the world is favorable. That's not what I heard.
Well, let's have intro.
Okay.
Mr. Trouble never hangs around.
Lauren, are you on?
When he hears this mighty sound. To save the day.
Mr. Wright is on his way.
We're not worrying at all.
Mr. Wright.
Then for his call. Save the day. That means that
Mr. Wright is on his way.
Oh, my. That's enough.
Wow.
Lawrence, okay. I didn't know you could sing.
Well, I can do everything because I am Mr. Wright.
Oh, that's amazing. By the way, for you and all the other fathers out there, I hope and pray that you have a wonderful Father's Day this Sunday.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly hope that I don't earn that because I do not have any children that I know of.
Well, I know that you have a four-legged one.
Oh, I do have my daughter. That's right. And you're exactly right. I beg your pardon.
But also, you also are becoming like the father to lead the liberals out of darkness into conservative values. So you could be considered a father of the of the Liberal Party.
Well, I would also like to extend Father's Day wishes to that most eloquent Democratic speaker, pontificator, the eloquent Alvin Green.
Oh, I got to do it one more time. Alvin!
Yes, that would be Alvin Green, the Democrat. And he is just a shining example of the competence of the Democratic Party. Everyone should Google and listen to Alvin Green, South Carolina congressman to be. I'm really proud of the Democrats there.
Okay, I want to start off with my lead story now.
Yes.
Okay, Hillary Clinton was down in Ecuador. And she was on national radio there or national media there, and she broke the news. Are you ready for this?
Yes, Obama, I'm holding on.
Okay, hold on, folks. Obama will sue Arizona over immigration enforcement law, and the governor of Arizona is smoking mad. And I got a feeling some of these females in office are going to take care of business.
So you're saying that Hillary Clinton, wife of Bill Clinton, our Secretary of State, announced that Barack Hussein Obama is going to sue the state of Arizona for trying to enact a law that the government itself, Barack Obama will not abide by or execute. Is that
right.
correct?
That's correct, because she is tired of seeing the murders on her border. What's happening in Phoenix is known as the kidnap capital of the world. Her state has been taken over by thugs, and she also does not want her state to be used to bring in terrorists. And we know that terrorists, at least 1,000, are planted in America right now because they came through south of the border acting as Mexicans. Larry.
Do I get this right, that the protector of the law or the enforcer of the law is going to sue a city, a county for keeping the law of the land? Is that what I'm hearing?
That's what it sounds like. Clary, as they're suing, more and more people are pouring through the borders. There are more rapes, murders, thefts, vandalism, all kinds of things. But we mustn't deal with those laws that are already on the book. We need to sue the residents and taxpayers of the state for wanting them to do so.
Right. Being law-abiding citizens. Okay. I'm on a roll. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
America brought over 17 Afghan military Air Force personnel to be trained in Texas. They're missing. They disappeared. They abandoned. They want the American life. Or maybe they might be
the terrorists on the cover.
Yeah.
Right.
Your thoughts.
Let me comment on that. Now, what you're saying is that these terrorists have escaped in Texas, right?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. From the Air Force Base.
Would that be George Bush's fault?
I don't think so.
Well, he's from Texas.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
yeah,
it's his
but
father's
George Bush's fault.
Maybe his wife's. I don't know.
Or it could be the responsibility of the leader, the commander-in-chief. But we don't have to worry about that because he's going to just sue somebody.
Mm. You know, what I don't understand is that why we are actually bringing in people who hate America to train in America to kill Americans and giving them the freedom of running and repay their way over here. We give them the freedom to run around the country, set up shop wherever they want to, and when they're ready, they just blow us up. I don't understand the mentality of the United States of America, at least those in authority.
Well, I agree. And those in authority would be the Barack Obama administration. In case anyone hasn't realized, Barack Obama has been in charge in office when he's not playing golf for over a year and a half now. A year and a half. And when does he take responsibility? Will it be 3 years into office, 4 years into office? When is the guy going to take responsibility and do something?
Well, are you ready for this?
Yes.
There's a report, and Alan Greenspan said this, okay, that this came out of the New York Post. Alan Greenspan is quoted that gasoline will be $7 a gallon because of the debt that we have. Interest rates will be rising. And the only way the government can control our debt is by taxing gasoline. Could you imagine $4 and change tax on the gasoline that I'm paying in my neighborhood, $2.69 yesterday? Could you imagine? And you're going to pay $7. All of that is to fund Obama and the liberal agenda in the social justice, as they call it, agenda to basically finance people on welfare and a number of their projects. America, I don't know about you, but you may have to get a bicycle, and I think that would be okay with Van Jones.
Well, I agree, but I would also like to remind everybody, since we want to give blame and people should get credit where credit is due, when the predecessor, George W. Bush, was in office and he transferred the mantle to Barack Hussein Obama, gasoline was $1.79. $1.79. And so with that logic, that would have been Bush's fault Bush's responsibility at $1.79, and when Barack Hussein Obama will leave office, and it might be $4, $5, or even more a gallon, will it be Barack Obama's fault or George W. Bush's fault?
Well, you know what, though? It certainly won't be George W. Bush's fault.
Well, you would think not.
Barack Obama's policies, and you know what's really irritating? Is that after the drill accident we have in the Gulf, he put a 6-month moratorium saying that his expert says that we need to stop drilling, and they never said no such thing. And it is really horrifying that after this, because of Barack Obama, we are going to be more dependent to foreign oil than ever before.
And there's more unemployment and more taxes for you and me, the hardworking public, to pay for because of the incompetence of the management of our commander-in-chief.
And with that, I just want to say, again, happy Father's Day, and you may not think of yourself
Father's
as a father.
Happy Father's Day to you and to all of our listeners, and may God continue to bless America.
Thank you. And folks, when we get back, we have a special author who's been on our show before who wrote a book, Heroes for My Son. It's a great story, and I believe it would inspire you for Father's Day. We'll be right back after the break.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, late fees, over-limit fees? Having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We can help. We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars and without risking your family home. No, this isn't bankruptcy. It isn't one of those credit counseling deals or a high-interest consolidation loan. We're Credit Card Relief. We've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. We're an attorney-driven program with an outstanding record of performance and client satisfaction. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call Credit Card Relief right now. Don't wait for the collection calls to start. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call Credit Card Relief now at 1-877-515-8148. That's 877-515-8148.
The MMI is a Sarasota-based masonry company providing complete structural concrete services and products and equipment rental for custom residential properties and waterfront homes. With 30 years of high-performance operations in the greater Manatee-Sarasota region, BMMI has achieved an outstanding reputation for thoroughness on the job and quality in the products and services that they provide. Covering a geographic area from Palmetto to Venice, including the Keys, BMMI is well known for tackling difficult residential layouts with consistently superior results. Call 941-377-5376 today to find out how BMMI can help you. That's 941-377-5376. 941-377-5376. BMMI, quality you can build on.
Tampa Bay's Tantalk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
And welcome back to Reality Check Live. And on the line, we have Brad Meltzer, number one U.S. Times best-selling author of the book of faith, Faith, and several other books. Brad, welcome to Reality Check Live.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And Brad, not only did you have bestseller, The Book of Fate, but also many other books that you've been writing for a very long time. And when you took on this book, Heroes for My Son, we had you on 3 weeks ago. After having you on, I got a copy. I'm going to give it to my son on Father's Day. He's just a father now for about 6 months. And it's such an inspiring book. Once again, those that didn't hear you the first time, what inspired you to write this type of book? Because this is really out of your comfort zone. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, and what I was inspired by is the thing that inspires me the most, my own children. And 8 years ago, on the night my son was born, I said, I'm going to write a book that lasts his whole life, that one day I can give to him and teach him how to be ideally a good man. And I went home that night from the hospital, and I started writing a list of rules for him to live by, great things like love God. I said, be nice to people. And then someone told me this amazing story about the Wright brothers. Every time the Wright brothers would go out to fly their plane, they would bring enough materials for multiple crashes, which means every time they went out, they knew they were going to fail. And they would crash and rebuild and crash and rebuild, and that's why they took off. And I said, I love that story. I want my son to hear that story. I want my daughter to hear that story. And I want them to know that if they have a dream and they work hard, they can do anything in this world. And yeah. I said, that's what I'm going to give them. Not a book of rules. I'm going to give them a book of heroes. And I've been collecting heroes now for 8 years. I've been writing versions of this book. But now heroes like Mr. Rogers and Rosa Parks and Jim Henson and George Washington. And that's where Heroes for My Son was born.
And, you know, this is such a timely book because we're seeing a generation that doesn't really have the kind of heroes that's going to motivate them to do something extraordinary. And when you think of the younger generation, and the younger generation is basically their whole life is around some type of media. If it's not from the computer, it's from, you know, texting, emailing, but also the television media and the music media. There's so much influence. And a lot of these people that become heroes to our children really are not heroes. They just have a gift. They have a talent. They have a special ability. But we sometimes confuse character with talent. And American children today really don't have a lot of heroes or taught what a real hero is about. But in your book, you're definitely taking time to point out that these people made a difference in society. They better the world that we live in. You know, even you talked about Abraham Lincoln, what it cost for him and cost this nation. It was well worth the price to correct a very unjust situation, slavery, 650,000 plus lives. And in America, we really don't have the heroes focus like we have. We just have idols.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's exactly why I wrote Heroes for My Son. I say to my son all the time, you know what being a professional athlete means? Nothing. It means you're good at sports. It doesn't mean you're a good person. And I was just tired and sick and tired of all these people being called heroes for no other reason than they're famous. And I said, I'm going to give my son, I'm going to give my daughter real heroes. You know, we found Thomas Jefferson is in the book. And not because he wrote the Declaration of Independence. He's in the book because he never took credit for writing the Declaration. He never stood up and said, hey, everyone, you know that Declaration you all know and love? That was me. And you know what? That's an amazing show of humility. I want my son to learn that kind of humility. My son means the entire world to me, but I want to give him the best heroes in the world to emulate and not just, you know, idiot athletes who, you know, make ridiculous faces on TV and think they're really cool. And that's what Heroes for My Son is about, is trying to bring that morality back to a place that's important, which is, you know, the fact that our kids model themselves on these people.
Brad, do you influence the children in the schools because, or do you have an opportunity to do that, or, you know, is that a closed door to you?
In terms of bringing the book to school?
Not the book so much, influencing them with the way you think and feel, because obviously you're a wealth of knowledge and insight into life.
Yeah, you know, listen, my goal with this book is absolutely to influence that. And I think as parents, you know, we always, a lot of people say, I wish my child's school was doing this and my child's school doesn't do that. You know what? Your child's school is not there to raise your kid. You're there to raise your kid. And it's our job. If we don't like the role models they have, give them better role models. And I acknowledge that's a hard thing. I spent 8 years of my life collecting these heroes, 8 years of my life trying to find amazing people. I found a guy named Frank Shankwitz. You know, let me say 90% of the people in Heroes for My Son you've heard of. Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Jackie Robinson, Martin Luther King Jr., you know 90% of them. But there's 10% you don't know. There's a guy named Frank Shankwitz who is a police officer. And he found out about a boy with leukemia who also wanted to be a police officer. So he went to the little boy's house and they built a little motorcycle riding course somewhere for the boy to ride on, his little toy motorcycle, made a little police uniform for the boy. And eventually the boy falls into a coma, and Officer Shankwitz goes to the boy's hospital room and pins little motorcycle wings on the boy, at which point the boy wakes up out of the coma and smiles. And at that moment, soon after, the boy goes back into the coma and he dies. And Frank Shankwitz, coming back from the funeral, this police officer looks at his buddy and he says, you know, we made that kid really happy for just one day. We should do that for other kids. And that's how the Make-A-Wish Foundation is born. And I said, I need my son to hear that story, because this book is not just about, and it's not just for kids. This is, you know, this is a book for adults as well. I want my dad to hear that story. I want him to know that this is not a book about famous people. It's a book about what we're all capable of on our very best days.
You know, when I was growing up, and I think for most children when we're young, our fathers or our mothers are our heroes. But as time goes on, and I was influenced by the move of the 60s, the anti-war movement, and I started to resent my father because he had a very large business in New Jersey. Everybody knew who our name was. If I said my name, everybody knew and recognized it. And I resented that, and he was no longer my hero, but somebody who I almost picked as an enemy. And for years, I have been ashamed of that, and I made right with my father before he passed on. And one of the things that we need to do as parents is influence our children. And I know today's society, that's even harder because of the amount of divorce rate, single parents. Many of the children are born today. Almost half the children are born, I guess, out of wedlock. But nevertheless, parents got to take time and invest in their children and to make sure that the children know the difference between a hero and an idol. And when I look back and I think of some of the bravest people in our land with some of the people that African-Americans that what they had to go through to bring freedom. And one of my favorite stories is when was it Jesse Owens in Germany, when Hitler thought the white was their race was the superior race on the world. And it took a black man to humble Adolf Hitler. And I thought, what an awesome story.
Yeah, I mean, that is just one of my favorite stories in there. And the most amazing part of the story is after he wins the gold medal, after he makes Hitler, you know, Hitler had spent millions of dollars on his German athletes who he said were better than us, better than this, you know, these black monsters that is what he thought they were. You know, they were so mean to Jesse Owens. They called him these horrible names. And Hitler was going to prove to the world is that he was going to, you know, he was superior, that his white Aryan group was superior to our lesser-known people. And, you know, disgusting, horrible thoughts. Amazingly, Jesse Owens wins. And the craziest part of the story is when Jesse Owens comes back and there's a huge party for him at the Waldorf Astoria, they don't let Jesse Owens walk in the front door. He has to ride in the service elevator in the back because he's black. Okay? This is the hero to the entire country. And it just, you know, again, it puts into perspective what character really is and what it takes to be a man. And that's a vital lesson. You know, I think the stories that are in this book are, like, I love every story in there. But if you said to me, who's my favorite hero in the book? And when we think of our own favorite hero is my mom. My mom died 2 years ago from breast cancer. And when she died, it was really one of the reasons I said, I'm going to finish this book now. I'm going to do heroes for my son. And at that moment, I should tell you, a couple years back, my publisher was shutting down. And I was terrified that no one was going to take over my contract. I thought I was watching my career deteriorate in front of me. And I called my mom to tell her how anxious I was. And she said to me, I'd love you if you were a garbage man. And she wasn't saying anything mean about garbage man. My uncle was a garbage man. But she was saying, I love you no matter what you are. Don't worry about it. And to this day, every day I sit down to write, I say those words to myself. I'd love you if you were a garbage man, just soaking in that love my mom had for me. But I'll tell you right now, the best pages for you in the book are the last two pages because they're blank. And they say your hero's story here and your hero's photo here. And I promise you, you take a picture of your husband or your grandfather or your dad or your mom or your grandmother, a teacher in your life, and you put their picture in the book and you write one sentence about why or something nice that they've done for you, and that will be the most beautiful gift you can give and the most beautiful page in Heroes for My Son. And I think that's what we forget, is the best heroes are the ones that are so close to home.
We have enough time for a quick story, and if you don't mind sharing a little bit about the father and son, the long-distance runner, and the team motto, I love it, Yes, You Can. Would you please share a little bit about that?
Yeah, they're called Team Hoyt, and when Dick and Judy Hoyt's son was born, Rick, when their son was born, he was born with such severe cerebral palsy that the doctors said, put him away. Put him in an institution and forget about him. And the family wouldn't forget about him. They kept pushing him along in his wheelchair. And he was 10 years old before they finally figured out a way to make a computer system so the boy can move his head and type out his thoughts. And his first sentence was, go Bruins. So when he was in high school, Rick heard about a little 5-mile charity run, the son did, and he said, you know, we should do that charity run for this other kid, Dad. And listen, to be clear, this kid can't do a charity run. He's in a wheelchair. There's no running. And the dad said, you know what, I'll push you in the wheelchair the whole way. And the dad goes to this race and pushes his son in the wheelchair the entire race. That night, the son says to the dad, Dad, when I'm running, it feels like my disability disappears. And at that moment, the dad knew what he had to do. He kept running, pushing his son always in the front. They've done 234 triathlons, 67 marathons, and 6 Ironman competitions. And the son still can't walk. But with his father, these two men fly. And there's no better father-son story I can give to my son right now than Team Hoyt. And that's what Heroes for My Son is about, teaching them that value of character.
You know, your book is awesome. And the reason I waited till this weekend, for those who have children or those who have fathers, this book will inspire you. I believe that we need to be heroes to our children. And I really recommend it to mothers to buy this book for their husbands and children for their fathers and vice versa. And so, Brad, let's have the name, the quickest way to get your book for Sunday.
Sure. It's Heroes for My Son is the book, and you can buy it at any bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Walmart, Target, wherever they sell books, you should be able to find a copy. You can, of course, go to Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. But I appreciate anyone who buys the book, because you're really, what the gift is a way for you to say, thank you for being my hero. And that's the real message of Heroes for My Son.
I appreciate you so much for being with us. And, Brad, I look forward to having you back on with future stories, because you inspired us. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Folks, we'll be right back we'll be right back after break. Claire, you got one thing to say. Okay, we'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, folks. Peter Epstein, president of Merit Financial, the Gold People. In tough economic times, I can't tell you how important it is to diversify your investments. While the stock market has gone down, gold has more than tripled in value since 2001. Tripled in value. For over 24 years, we've helped people make conservative investments for protection and profit. We guarantee every piece of gold we sell is inspected to assure the highest quality. We guarantee to ship in-stock products in 3 days and will beat any advertising price on the products we offer. That's the Merit Guarantee. Call now and I'll send you our gold investment guide absolutely free. Find out how gold can protect your financial future. Call Merit right now for your free gold guide, and remember the Merit Guarantee. The right gold at the right price right away.
Call 1-888-308-5522. Call now for your free gold investment guide. Call 1-888-308-5522. That's 888-308-5522.
Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
And welcome back to Reality Check Live. And on the line we have Dan Gaynor, the T. Boone Pickens Fellow and Vice President of Business and Media Culture. Business and Culture for the Media Research Center. Dan, sorry about messing
up. Oh, that's okay. It's a long business card. I have to have a Sherpa to carry my business cards for me.
Welcome to Reality Check Live.
Thank you.
Brad, just a little bit off the wall, and I was just thinking about something that you and organization like yours and others may be responsible for, destroying the future and the hopes for America from the liberal media. And I was thinking, if you weren't around and your organization wasn't around, they would have been able to report the news any way they wanted it. They would have been able to support Barack Obama and his policies and change America in the change that they are hoping for. And now I was thinking that they're not getting their way in anything. It doesn't matter what they report or who they support anymore. They're not getting their way. Do you think that maybe you're responsible for some of their mental illness out there?
Well, I think there are a lot of people fighting this fight, but it's, if we don't, and I mean, I think talk radio is a big part of that too. I think,
yeah,
that the left really wants a world where there's no opposition, but they're not getting a world where there's no opposition. And I think Barack Obama particularly doesn't know how to deal with that. He always seems testy when it comes to people critiquing him, even people who are his friends. So I think the more that we give pushback, we're in an era now where ordinary citizens can have a lot of influence on the electoral process. If you go to an event, you hear a politician say something, you catch video or audio of that, or you catch a reporter in a restaurant, and that reporter starts screaming at the waitstaff, and you've got your video camera out, it can affect people's careers.
It's a different world now. It's like at one time you would think our politicians, the worst thing they could do is forget to turn off their microphone, and you would hear their thoughts behind the scenes. But now we're constantly on camera, being recorded one way or another. But what's really interesting, a year and a half ago, we knew the press was, the liberal press was right behind Barack Obama. They felt responsible for making his policies working. And the harder that they try to, or the more they try to distort the news and to make this president look good, his numbers are at an all-time low. And yet the media is still covering for him, but it's not working anymore.
Well, I mean, it's not working because Obama ran on promise. He ran on the promise that, oh my gosh, he's going to bring change, hope and change to America. Well, that's great when hope and change actually shows up. But when people get what they get instead was a president who promised to let people have a chance to read a bill, and then they pass a bill and nobody ever gets that chance. And they pass a bill that's $787 billion that they don't get a chance to read. When the president promises that he's going to be bipartisan and spends all his time bashing our side, people know that he's talking out of both sides of his mouth.
And there's no question about it, just as it's always George Bush's fault, and they try to put this BP spill on George Bush. But what was interesting, there was a report out not long ago when John F. Kennedy and the Bay of Pigs failed. He didn't say this was Eisenhower's fault. It was Eisenhower's plan. It was everything to do with Eisenhower. But he inherited that plan, and he allowed it to go through. And when it failed, he stood there and said, it's my fault. And that's the thing that we're not seeing is character in the White House anymore. But we're not seeing character in the mainstream media either.
Yeah, we're seeing characters, not character. And I mean, it's certainly a target-rich environment. You see things. Some of the stuff the media do, it's astonishing how biased it is, but it's so hard to figure out. We looked at a story this week. I'm sure most of the people watching, listening right now, have watched this video of a police officer in Seattle punching this young woman.
Yes.
It's all over the internet. But Today's Show did a story where they showed the video clip of the police officer punching the young woman 14 times.
Yes.
What they left out of this video was basically the real story. The other woman, the original suspect, the woman he arrested, resisted arrest for a minute and 44 seconds after the punch was thrown. She used, she kept saying to the police officer, very confrontational, get the blank off me. She said that 14 times. So what do they show 14 times? They show the punch 14 times, not her resisting arrest and telling the police officer, disrespecting the police officer, telling him to get the blank off me 14 times.
Now, I also understand that she punched the officer first. Is that true?
Not that I've seen on any video.
Okay.
The one woman, the second woman, shoved the officer, and she's a big girl. She's at least the height of the police officer. And she shoved him. She shoved him back like 3 feet. And that's when he punched her. So I grew up in a neighborhood with mostly firemen and police officers. If any of them had ever encountered somebody, man or woman, they of course would have contained the situation either with fist or club, or what they call the clubs in Baltimore, espentoons. You get hit for that because the police officer has to keep the situation from escalating further.
Right. Now I got a story that came out. I believe it came out of Culture and Media talking about the attacks on the South Carolina representative that was running for governor for the primary. And what's interesting, when you think of South Carolina, you think of the governor who had an affair with the Argentina woman. But the one that was covered up, and I remember reading it first in the National Enquirer of all places, is Senator John Edwards. And yet there's some rumors of what's her name, Haley? Nikki Haley, I believe her name is.
Nikki Haley,
and yet they ran that like this is gospel truth.
Yeah, and of course, if we all know that that's not. What's interesting about that story is John Stewart, who's quite a liberal, runs the John Stewart show. He actually attacked one of the people on that, and his attack. He basically implied the second person claiming that had hooked up with Nikki Haley was gay, and he did a fairly long segment making fun of the guy because the guy, he said, how did John Stewart put it? He said he's flamingly Southern because he was making fun of him in that way. That's the kind of thing that the left generally doesn't do. But his point was that. The gentleman seems so ungenuine about his claim. It's like it just sounded like he was just saying it, that it was not convincing at all. And of course, I think the people in South Carolina seen through it, and so that's why she won.
And that was amazing too, because you think about how often this story was ran in the news media, the three major networks, also the print media. And very rarely, as the story point out in culture and media, that was ever mentioned that, there is just this is just a accusation. They made it as actual fact.
Yeah, and then they would always – then once, of course, it's been pointed out that it's bogus, then they don't ever point that out.
And what's interesting also was Senator John Edwards. You think about his affair when his wife needed him most of all, goes out and fathers a child – denies it for a number of years. The media must have known about it. National Enquirer found out, but the media did not want to expose it. And finally, the mainstream media did expose it. But yet, this thing is like still pushed under the carpet, and he will be going to court pretty soon on all types of charges that he may end up in jail.
Yeah, one of the things that you'll discover is that journalists buy into the typical liberal mindset that the only person that they'll go after for an affair is a conservative. So if you're a liberal politician, you can pretty much do whatever you want. Bill Clinton. The only reason that those affairs became public is because conservatives, really pushed that out. Matt Drudge and such.
Right.
It is not something the media want to report on unless they think you're being hypocritical. So if you're actually moral, you're more likely to have any allegation of an affair or anything wrongdoing come out as opposed to somebody who's very obviously doing something wrong.
And it's no doubt about it, the far left has to demoralize moral people, and moral people do slip and fall and make mistakes, and hopefully they come clean. But the governor of South Carolina, I'll be honest, he betrayed his wife, he betrayed his children. He betrayed the state, and he's an embarrassment because because the way he dealt with it, and I guess he's still in power.
Yeah, won't be for long, thankfully. But it's still, you're right. I mean, he betrayed a lot of people, and if he had been a Democrat, the media wouldn't have been staking out the parking lot where he left his car. They just wouldn't have been. Look how slow we were to find out. All these things about, take your pick, Democratic politician, somebody like Patterson from New York. I mean, it's just there are double standards here. And what we point out, the reason why they went after Nikki Haley, again, the double standard. We don't have any evidence, but we're still going to report it.
And at the same time, she was also criticized, and I forgot what representative, I believe it was a representative, called her a cowhead. Because her heritage.
Sorry, that was one. I think it was a state. It was a state delegate or a state senator. Who was actually a Republican, and he's just an idiot. if you're gonna make fun of somebody, he's not even. I mean, it's just not even accurate bias. It's not even accurate bigotry. It's just stupid, and there will always be stupid people in every field of endeavor, politics. Sports, whatever. The media like to highlight it when conservatives or Republicans say stupid things and downplay it when liberals are doing things like they're doing with Michelle Bachmann right now. They're running a campaign that we can't even discuss on the radio because of the wording that they're using to attack Michelle Bachmann.
Yeah.
But they're running a tax campaign in her district back home.
Now, if you think about the last, let's say the last 3 years, when Barack Obama started running for office, the favorite that he had by the press, if anybody didn't agree with him, they got kicked off his airplane. He's been able to control certain media, certain advertisings that were against him, censoring them by threats of lawsuits and et cetera. And the media had tremendous amount of influence over the American people, talking about the mainstream media. But I believe that they're losing their grip over the minds of the American people today, because I'm not sure anybody's really taking them as serious as we used to. Because I can remember growing up, we used to watch our local news from 5, 6 to 6:30, and then the national news, and we believed everything that was true from the broadcasters.
Oh, we had Walter Cronkite and people like that, and of course we believed them. And now what we're finding is that as they retire, whether it's Walter Cronkite or Helen Thomas or Dan Rather or whatever, that they were all a bunch of one-sided libs. And then we have a lot more options now. So no media outlet has the same power that the media outlets used to.
I also know that you've been on Fox quite a few times and quite regularly, and wasn't for the Fox cable news and business news, the American people really wouldn't have anything on television as an optional to news. And we believe that Fox News is fairly accurate. I don't know how high their accuracy rating is compared to CNN and MSN. It's two different worlds. One is they're trying to report the news, and also Fox has the commentaries. We understand that. But CNN, MSN, ABC, and the rest of them, they want to basically feed the people what they believe they need to hear and understand. And yet, there are so many other issues in America that need to be discussed, and we're not hearing those things that are being ignored, like Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, and besides the cover-up with the BP oil spill. We're just amazed to sit there and watch the media do absolutely nothing in the issues that we need to hear.
Yeah, the media, this is not a shining time for the media. I was amazed that more of them didn't try to get arrested to go out to report on, you know, what was going on in the Gulf. Had George Bush been president and the Coast Guard and the FAA worked in conjunction with a major oil company that had given George Bush a lot of money and kept them out of the area of the oil spill, every major news outlet in the country would have had their people going down there trying to get arrested.
And what's interesting, too, you wonder how they're going to cover the story with the governor of Louisiana who sent out, well, I guess their crude-sucking barges was stopped by the Coast Guard, and the reason they were not allowed to continue, they didn't have enough life vests aboard. I mean, are they going to deal with that? I doubt it.
No. How would they handle it if the governor of Louisiana notifies the Coast Guard saying, I'm sorry, but I'm putting, you know, armed guards on these boats, and I'm not going to let you stop them. I'm trying to save my state, and you're worried about OSHA rules. Yeah, we've got a national emergency, and you're worried about life vests.
And there's enough oil out there to keep anybody floating. I mean, I'm a bad joke, but it's just insane. Dan, we got to get ready to take a break. You don't know how much I appreciate the work that you do and Newsbusters and media research and culture and media and also business and media. Every one of those bring a light to or understanding to what's taking place. Because if I didn't have your resources, I really wouldn't understand what's happening out there. So would you please tell the listeners how they can get plugged into you?
Well, they can find us at, let's try, cultureandmedia.com for starters and newsbusters.org. But I will tell you, those are only part of our voice. And if our voice did not get repeated out on talk radio, we'd be like the tree falling in the forest and nobody would hear us.
And I'm glad that you guys are getting airtime on Fox and other networks, because we really do need to know more. I love iBlast. There are so many good things that you guys do. Thank you, Dan, for the work that you do.
Thank you very much.
We'll look forward to next week. Folks, we're going to take a break.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
High school's graduation is intimidated to not pray. I'm Garrett Messmacher, and that's coming up next. The end of the school year is a time of celebration.
However, some rejoicing might be dampened for students at Exeter High School in California. The school held several school board meetings to discuss whether prayer would be appropriate during their graduation ceremony. School principal Renee Whitson said the public spoke clearly in support of prayer, and the local news station reports over 85% of parents favored it. The school board thought they would pass the decision on to the students to ask if they preferred either a moment of silence or prayer. However, it is important to clarify that students can vote on who to speak for them, but not directly on whether or not there will be prayer at their graduation. Because the issue raised some attention, activist groups like Freedom From Religion Foundation and Americans United for Separation of Church and State wrote letters threatening that prayer would likely spark a lawsuit. A Liberty Council attorney has spoken with school leadership and offered resources to them. However, under the threat of a legal battle, the school administration decided to just have a moment of silence this year.
Liberty Council is a religious civil liberties education and legal defense organization. For more information, call 1-800-671-1776.
BMMI is a Sarasota-based masonry company providing complete structural concrete services and products and equipment rental for custom residential properties and waterfront homes. With 30 years of high-performance operations in the greater Manatee-Sarasota region, BMMI has achieved an outstanding reputation for thoroughness on the job and quality in the products and services that they provide. Covering a geographic area from Palmetto to Venice, including the Keys, BMMI is well known for tackling difficult residential layouts with consistently superior results. Call 941-377-5376 today to find out how BMMI can help you. That's 941-377-5376. 941-377-5376. BMMI, quality you can build on.
Tampa Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
And now it's time for Insights with Dr. Mom. Dealing with family issues of the day and discussing a common sense way to solve the problems we're all faced with our families today. That's Insights with Dr. Mom. Heard right here on Tan Talk Radio on Reality Check. And now, Dr. Mom.
Each morning as we awake to a new day, we may think we have everything under control. We may plan and organize our entire day, but still some things may not run as smoothly as we would like them to run. So, are you prepared for surprises? Or do you know the day, how the day would end? For one family, it was a difficult and traumatic day. The story reveals that there was an out-of-control brush fire that affected their home, the homes of many families who were forced by the burning inferno to leave all their precious belongings and flee for their lives and safety. But Jason decided to remain behind to try to protect his home while his wife and his two children went to the neighboring town for safety. In order to protect his house, he climbed onto the roof of the barn with buckets of water, when suddenly the roof caved in and he fell into the blazing inferno. Fear and panic enveloped him as he desperately tried to remember what he had learned in fire rescue classes. Struggling for breath, he began to run to the dam at the back of his property when his cell phone began to ring in his pocket. And on the line was his boss urging him to run to safety. By this time, he was dizzy, and he fell to the ground, but the sound of the voice on his cell phone continued to encourage him to run to safety. So he proceeded to crawl towards the dam. He was exhausted and was about to give up when he felt the damp mud of the edge of the dam. Although he tried to move forward, he was so tired and delirious that he could not. So he told his boss he could not speak anymore, but tell his wife and his children that he loved them. His boss told him to hang in there and listen to the voices on the phone. When Jason was rescued, he said it was a miracle and the grace of God that saved him. If your day was like Jason's, would you survive? Would you recognize your miracle? would you acknowledge that God's grace is sufficient for you? Or would you be devastated at the loss of your home? Things are replaceable, but life is not. Once we leave this world, we cannot return. This is Insights with Dr. Mom. Life is too precious. Life is too short. Let us recognize that God loves us so much that he will see us through every circumstance. Let us thank him for life. He deserves our praise and thanks. Have an attitude of gratitude. And guess what? You will be glad you did.
Hey, folks, I got a couple great bumper stickers you may be interested in, and maybe actually all you have to do is go to their website. The first one is newsbusters.org, newsbusters.org. We just had Dan Gaynor. I don't believe the liberal media. And one of my favorite ones comes from Liberty Council, and it says this: have you prayed for a liberal today? AdoptALiberal.net. And that's www.AdoptALiberal.net. So instead of just criticizing the liberals and criticizing what's going on, we really need to adopt them. We need to pray for them. We need to be able to reason with them without having to get in a screaming argument and in their face.
Well, confrontation doesn't really change anything, but we need, if we can't reason with them, we can certainly pray for them.
You know, it's interesting. We have a neighbor next door who does not believe in God. And one day when she was real sick, she says, well, maybe God's a woman, blah, blah, blah. But it was really interesting. We almost lost the dog this week, and we found out he wasn't terminally ill. He wasn't stroking.
He had pneumonia.
He had pneumonia. We thought he had heart failure. And the dog's doing very well. And when our neighbor heard that, who is not a believer, have a relationship with God. We don't have to be in the face. We don't have to be nauseous about it. But we ourselves have to choose to live godly. And you know what? When you do choose to live godly, guess what? More temptation will come your way than ever before. But we have to make choices. We have to be prepared to make those choices. And we need to be, once again, America, the only reason we've been a light, a shining light to the rest of the world, is because we believe in our Christian Judea faith.
And the only reason we've been blessed beyond any other nation is because we were founded on Judeo-Christian values, and we have a category of people in this United States of America who are praying people, and God honors his children. So take time this weekend to go to church. Take time to spend with God, whether you sit on the beach and talk with him or whether you are going through a crisis and you talk to him. Talk to him. He wants to hear from you, and he wants to tell you good things,
and
too.
Please pray that God will talk to our president, making the right decisions for America and not for their particular agenda. And also, pray for BP and all the people involved with the oil, that oil leak will stop. It's not a leak. It's a gusher. Because, folks, some of us live along the coast of the Gulf of Mexico. We in Florida do. Those in Arkansas, I know you don't, but nevertheless, this is a beautiful place, and it could be ruined for years to come, and we need a miracle to stop that. So I want to thank you for listening to Reality Check today. I want to thank you for allowing us to be part of your life. God bless you, and God bless America.
Well, I want to hug it. So, baby, can't you see that you were meant for me? I want your loving. Yes, sirree. I bet I want to hug it. I bet I want to kissing. So, baby, please proceed to give the love I need. I want your love.